So you have that? Well, let's say it together. If perfect love casts out fear, and fear is the opposite of faith, then imperfect love casts out faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see that connection? Okay, it's a basic. It's fundamental. We have to love. And I know we talk a lot about love, but I really don't think we talk enough about love because we haven't gotten it yet. And that's not a knock. That's just telling it the way it is. So at least for me, God has charged me with talking about love and forgiveness. That will slow down your momentum. How many of you can think of someone that you need to forgive? Okay, let's wait a couple of minutes. Then I'm going to ask the question again. Because the Bible says, forgive as quickly and completely as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. So how many in here have someone that they need to forgive? Okay, I'll say it again. The Bible says, forgive. Everyone say, I have to give, forgive as quickly and completely as God, for Christ's sake, forgave me. How many of you in here have somebody that you need to forgive? Okay, let's say it again. Okay. I need to forgive as quickly and completely as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me, and I have the faith to forgive because I love the person. How many of you have somebody need to forgive? Still? Okay. Let's say it again. Okay. I will forgive at quickly and completely as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. I have the faith to forgive because I love the person regardless of what they did. Now, how many in here have someone they need to forgive? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even though you did not discuss it with them, what they did.
Yep. Did God sit down and discuss it with us before he sent Jesus? Did he sit down with you before you received Jesus Christ? Did he call you all into the room and say, sit down? You know, Jacob, let me just tell you about yourself. Okay, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Okay. Did he do that? No. He just forgave. Period. See, we have to understand this, even though we may not like it. Whoever it is that did something to you, whatever it is they did, they deserve your forgiveness. Not because of who they are, but because of who you say you are. See, that's why. You say you're a believer, they deserve to be forgiven, because that's what believers do. They forgive. Period. That's what they do. And when you walk around harboring something, you're actually blocking your communication with God, because you're not going to hear anything God tells you to do concerning that person. Or if you start to hear something, you cut it off. You say, I'm not doing anything for them. Wait till hell freezes over. My thing is, how are you going to know? You going to go there and wait? And you think about what you think of it this way. God is trying to get something to you, and you're saying what that individual did is more important. Is that what you're saying? God, he has the windows of heaven open, following you around, And you have up this big umbrella called unforgiveness, so none of those blessings fall on you. But you've gotten even. That's, I mean, no disrespect. I really don't. But it's silly. It's like what my youngest son said to me once. He had an opportunity to play with one of Riverside Church's travel teams, and it was the team that did the Southern Run, whatever states that included. He was offered a summer job that would have paid him somewhere around $1,200-$1,500 for about 6 weeks, and he couldn't do it because he had to go to summer school to make him an English class. The reason he failed English is he didn't go to the class. He cut the class like 87 times, something like that. And I said, why did you cut the class? She gets on my nerves. That's what he said. I said, who gets on your nerves? The teacher. So you cut a class? He said, yeah, I figured I'd show her. I won't go to her class. Yes, he did. I said, son, let's think about this, okay? You can't get a summer job, so you've lost a minimum of $1,000. You can't travel with Riverside Church. And all of the folks that the scouts and recruiters that follow that team, they're not going to see you play. She's home for 8 weeks getting paid, but you showed her. Okay. He was like, ah. I said, do you want the stupid stamp now or later? Okay. But that's the same principle we use, folks. When we won't forgive someone, we know we're supposed to forgive them. We know it's messing up our life, but we showed them. What we're really showing, God, I don't love you. That's what we're really saying. So, well, how can you say that, Pastor? Because we don't have the faith in God to know that he's going to keep us while we forgive this person and that he's going to protect us. We don't believe that. We believe we have to protect us, and we adopt worldly sayings. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I'm like, what verse? I missed that one. That's probably right where it said, where Adam said, I love you. Okay. It ain't in there. Right. But we'll adopt worldly sayings over what God said. And as a result, we don't love. So just to make sure everybody's got, is there anybody here? And there's someone you can think of that you need to forgive. So you've forgiven everyone. Do it quickly, folks. You're not going to live a life where people aren't going to do stuff. If that were true, God wouldn't have had to say forgive completely and quickly. Stuff is going to happen. Wake up in the morning, Father, I already forgive. You know, that person that woke up this morning, Lord, that was determined to find my car on the roadway to cut me off, all right, I forgive them, okay? I forgive them. You got it? Any question? Yes.
How many more of these are you going to do?
I don't know.
But when you do them, can we please get back to asking questions at the end? Just for this subject?
Well, I can't promise that. What I will promise is just what God told me tonight. He told me to take some questions because he said people will have questions. So when God says that to me, I will say it to you. But to stand here and say I'll absolutely do that, I can't, because if he tells me not to, then either I'm disobedient to him or I've lied to you. So rather than put myself in that position, I have to tell you, if God tells me to field questions, I will. And he told me to ask if there are any questions tonight. So Are there any questions? Because he's like, we're going to get this. Yes, Frank. Mm-hmm. Well, my mother, you know, mommy's been, wow, I think she's been dead about 8 years. It wasn't until sometime last year, matter of fact, I was ministering, and I forgave her because I was still carrying bitterness around and still remembering. See, it's one, I remember most of the things people have done to me. I do. It doesn't keep it, it. See, remembering doesn't mean I didn't forgive them. Remembering and getting all worked up about it means I haven't forgiven them. I remember because I can use it as a testimony. And I believe that's the purpose for it. But I don't get bent out of shape. And I used to get bent out of shape when I think about some of the things that mommy did that were just wrong. And I was upset. And I start saying, well, I've respected her all my life. I did it, this and this and this. And I mean, I just start going on. And God was saying, when did you send your only son? And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, no, but God, you don't know. See, 'cause nobody ever did this to you. He said, really? He said, I could tell you one person right now. I said, who did that to you? He said, go look in the mirror. And he convicted me. I was ministering. And he convicted me right there on the pulpit floor. And I had to announce, I just forgave mommy. Just now. And man, it felt like a weight was lifted off of me. Really. See, sometimes we're upset because the person died. Not before we could forgive them, but before we could tell them what we thought about them. I'm saying, you know. See, good. We got to get real with this thing if we want to get it right. We have to realize it's never about us. It's about your witness as a believer. That's what the devil, he's not after you, he's after your witness. You just happen to be in the way. He doesn't want us loving one another, and he certainly doesn't want us loving the world. Okay?
Yeah, because...
Just talk. They'll catch it.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, the Lord has...
Don't, if you wave it around, it won't work.
Oh, there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Lord has spoken about that when we came down last week, mm-hmm. about that, you know, and when Minister Marlene and them, when they came up, and mm-hmm. stating that whether they're living or not living, mm-hmm. you should forgive them. But last week you came up, you spoke about... You know, the love message also. And the Lord told me, the Holy Spirit, while I was standing there, was at the end of the service.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I have an ever-ending love for you, so shall you have an ever-ending love for others at any cost.
Right.
That's what
But that's absolutely right. You know, but see, I've learned not to think about what it costs me to forgive, because you could talk yourself out of it. All I think about is God said forgive. Period. God said love. Period. That's all that I make myself think about. Any other questions? Just ask them. Don't think about it, because this is serious. Yes.
I'm glad you was transparent about what you just said about forgiving your mom, mm-hmm. even after her passing.
Mm-hmm.
I was dealing with forgiving my mom, and she's still living. But what God kept telling to me is, and also your wife witnessed to me for that too, is that you have to look at the love that Christ have for you to show that love to your mom. And like you were saying, she's alive, and you be in your dwelling is wanting to say things that I felt that she was doing was wrong in some circumstances with us as the relationship is concerned. Mm-hmm. But the Lord was telling me, I am your parent, and I love you regardless if I use your mom as the vehicle to bring you here. I am the one to teach you the real love that you need to demonstrate to her as a witness, and not think about the things that you see the world as what the definition of a mother is supposed to be. And that's what my head was wrapped around. It was wrapped around what a mother's supposed to be doing for the child. But God was saying that you can't look at that. You got to look at the love that I put in you to demonstrate the light to her. And then I will work on that other part that you've been wrapped around in your head on what a relationship with your mother should be. So I thank you for being transparent about that piece about you had to forgive. You were now forgiving your mom of the things that you felt that may have hurt you growing up. Same for me. But like I see it in another light as that basic love is the love of Christ. So I thank you. I appreciate that.
Right. Okay, I'm going to say this. God told me to say it because something that I said that I was never going to say publicly. But just to give you an understanding about how the devil will use you to stay in unforgiveness. I can't tell you how many basketball games I played over my lifetime. And major tournaments and name players and all that stuff. Mommy came to one game. I've been married twice. She didn't come to either wedding. My ex-wife got married. She went to her wedding. And I started thinking about dropping out of college to go to work. Because dad was gone, I had little brothers and sisters, and there was no money coming in, so I dropped out of college. Had an opportunity for a scholarship to play basketball for St. John's, but I dropped out. Okay, that would have taken my life on a different path. I know that now. I didn't know that then. She asked me to borrow some money for her because she had money that was going to be coming in, and she needed something, and she had this guy, I've seen him before, and she said, well, I can't borrow anymore because I'm already at my limit. He said, but son, I need you to borrow this for me. They already know I'm taking care of the bill. That's fine. I'm like, this is mommy. Of course. Sure. Never paid him back. I found out he was a loan shark. He's coming looking for me. But the quote-unquote good thing about that was I was foots then. And I had my own sharks with me. So he realized he needed to just leave me alone. When I got born again and I had an opportunity to minister, and I couldn't wait. You take the CD of the message. She's in the hospital. She's battling lung cancer. And I put it on, I'm like, yeah, it's my first message. Oh, why are you laughing? You sound like a little kid. I'm like, you know. And so I started thinking about, but even in that, I would think about, yeah, but she beat up those guys, you know, that attacked me when I was 10. She took care of these principles. I'm trying to outweigh this thing. It ain't working. Because I kept defaulting to, but she went to my ex-wife's wedding. I got married twice, and she wouldn't come to either one. I couldn't, that would leave a real bitter taste in my mouth, and I just, so when she died, yeah, I went to a funeral. I spoke at a funeral. I never cried. I didn't cry until that Sunday after I had forgiven her. During all that time, I'd miss my dad, you know, and not because of what he did growing. If I went based on what he did when I was a child, I would have needed to forgive him too. But we had a great relationship once I became an adult. And so I would walk around missing him. I wasn't missing mommy. I miss her now. And it's good. And it's okay. So I know, see, I'm not going to stand before you and act like, you know, oh, this stuff is easy. It gets easier, but the people that hurt seem to hurt you the worst are the ones that are closest to you. That's why Jesus warned us. He said, your enemies will be those of your own household. It's not that they're trying to do things to get you, but it feels differently. This is someone that's supposed to love you. And this is what they do? But that's why we have to learn to forgive quickly. The longer you take to forgive, the harder it's going to be, folks, to forgive them, because you're going to let that unforgiveness take root in you. And unforgiveness will become a root of bitterness growing inside of a believer. And you won't be all that God called you to be.